Book of Nehemiah, you might be thinking, oh, he's going to the Old Testament. He's going to be preaching on the events that have taken place this past week. No, no. If you want a message that relates to the events that have taken place this past week, come tonight as we preach the book of Revelation. I'm going to preach a message that God laid on my heart. And I prayed. My sermons were done as Friday night approached and the terrible events took place in France. And I really feel like God wants me to preach this message. It's a message that he laid on my heart about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's not going to be a popular message, but it's a message that needs to be heard, especially in the day that we live in. Now, as I promised 2 weeks ago, this message today is for you. 2 weeks ago, I preached a message that God laid on my heart about sounding the gospel alarm for all the world to hear. And at the beginning of the message, I told you that the next message that I was going to be preaching would be that concerned things that are on your heart. Now, church, I've listened to what you've been saying for the last almost 4 years. I promise to you that I have absolutely none agendas here at this church other than to do and to be what God has called me to be. And I fully understand Proverbs 29:18, where it says that where there is no vision, a people perish. I pray often and here lately, almost nightly, that God will tell me the direction that he wants me to lead this church. Honestly, I would love to give each and every one of you everything that I've heard that you've wanted and needed to minister. But there's one reason I feel like I can't. So what is it? What is it that I've heard over the past almost 4 years that you say that you wanted or you needed or the church really had to have? One that I've been hearing here lately is something needs to be bigger, and that is our nursery. Okay, I didn't hear one amen. We need a bigger nursery. I've heard the ladies who've been staying in there say, goodness gracious, we've had 17, 18 children running around in the nursery, plus four or five workers. If you have a child who is in the nursery, listen, please, you need to sign up. You need to sign up. If you have getting ready to have a child in the nursery or a grandchild in the nursery, you need to sign up. It is a ministry to serve in the nursery. You're getting rewards in heaven by serving in the nursery. As those who are able to come and sit and listen to the message while you watch their children. It is a ministry. We also need people in children's church. That also is a ministry. You need to sign up there. Listen, we need a bigger nursery. I walked around in the past couple of weeks, and I've looked inside, and I've looked outside, and I've tried to figure out how in the world are we going to make the nursery bigger? How can we make the nursery bigger? There's only one logical way, and that's to get Deborah's Sunday school room out of the way and make that part of the nursery. Look at her. She was like, ooh, golly, I don't know about that. Huh? Hey, we need a bigger nursery. I've heard it. I've heard your plea. I really have. Something else I've heard. Where's Donna? She stepped out. I've heard we need a bigger social hall. Have y'all been to any of our fellowships lately? We've tried to get an appropriate number of who's going to be there, and we set up tables. And past we're using every single table and every single chair just about. Why? It's a good thing. We're growing, and you're staying. You're fellowshipping. Fellowshipping is a part of what body of believers should do. Amen. When we say amen at the end of the service, you don't need to run off, get in your car. Listen, we're not going to give out a special award at the end of the year to see who gets in their car and leaves first. We're not. Okay? You can stand in fellowship all you want. But I've heard you. I've heard you say, listen, Brother Kyle, we need a larger fellowship hall. We do. We need a larger kitchen just about, because when we have fellowships, it takes a lot longer to get through the line now. And I know some of y'all are hungry. Okay? I've also heard this. I've heard, Pastor, we need a family life center. I would love for us to have a family life center. I have walked back here, back behind the church, and I've prayed. I've walked up in Davis Park and prayed, and I know what we need as far as land size, because we have to have enough parking spaces to be adequate enough for the people who occupy the building. You have to look at the drainage and the drainage fields and which way you're going to turn the building. You have to look and put all those variables into place. And church, I've thought about it. I've thought about the ministries that we could do in this community if we had a family life center. We could have three different ministries that reach out to our community in an unbelievable way if we could have a family life center. Not only that, we could use that as a fellowship hall as well. So, I mean, I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. I'm with you. I wish that we could get, you know, we could move forward and build a family life center. I hear your heart. Listen, I've heard many of your hearts saying, we need a youth pastor. When I first came here, y'all were really screaming, we need a youth pastor. We need a youth pastor. We need a youth pastor. I hear you. I know. And you know, I've kind of bounced the idea to see if it's still out there. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, our youth has kind of dropped in size, and we don't really need a youth pastor the way we used to need a youth pastor. And I'm like, hey, listen, I think we need a youth pastor more now than we ever have before, because you've got to look at Awana. All those kids in Awana are coming up. They're making their way through. I've heard you, church. I've heard you. And listen, I'm still hearing you. I'm praying. I think we need a youth pastor. Church, we're growing, and I'm not going to stand here and say that we couldn't use everything that we just talked about. What I do want to tell you is why I don't feel that we're ready to have all those things right now. Indifference. The reason we are not ready to have all of those things that I just talked about a second ago isn't because I'm not ready. It's because of indifference. Billy Graham is quoted as saying this: God is not as interested in the immoral world as he is with the indifferent church. Let me say that again. God is not as interested in the immoral world as he is with the indifferent church. Indifference will find an excuse. Love will find a way. The church is so busy looking at the world and pointing out all the immoral things that are happening in the world. And I'll stand up here and tell you, listen, you've heard me say it. In the past 3 years, I've seen this world head in a direction I never thought in my life would ever head. I mean, we have touched depths of immorality that, Mark, I knew we were heading towards it, but not that fast. Never. But church, listen to me. God is more interested in the indifference that is taking place in his church, his body of believers. He's more interested in what's taking place in this church than he is outside these doors. Do y'all believe me? He really is. Well, Brother Kyle, how are we being indifferent, you might be asking? I could answer this question in several different ways. Listen, let's just do a test. Tomorrow night we're having outreach and visitation. It's called care ministry for 1 hour. Let's see how indifferent the church is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Okay? Listen, Brother Kyle, how are we being indifferent, you might be asking? Again, I can answer this question several different ways. But when it concerns the health and wealth and prosperity of this church and most churches in the United States, you are being indifferent with your tithes. Now, church, since I've been your pastor, I haven't often preached on tithing. For one, because, you know, it's not a real popular topic. I don't get many amens. I appreciate that one a few minutes ago, Mark. But I don't get many amens from these types of sermons. But I've preached on tithing. I've preached tithing sermons. Listen, I've tried my best to show you my church, the ones that God has laid in front of me and God has given me as your pastor. I've tried my best to show you from a historical perspective where tithing came from. I've tried to get you to see where tithing is being obedient to what Scripture teaches.
I have tried to shame you, showing you that tithing is not just stealing from the church, but stealing from God Almighty Himself. The truth, church, is if we want to be blessed by God, but we don't want to be changed. Did you hear me? We want God's blessings, but we don't want Him to change us. We want to be blessed, but not obedient. That's the truth. God, please bless me. I've even heard Christians say this, crying, why won't God bless me? Why won't He hear my prayers? Well, let me just ask you a few questions. Are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you tithing? Nail those three down and see what your life and your relationship with God, if it changes. Well, Brother Kyle, that seems kind of legalistic. Hey, listen, it works. It works. Because you're being obedient to what Scripture dictates and tells you that you need to do and what you need to be. So I've tried many different approaches with my church family on tithing. This morning I want to try a different one. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try a new approach. Look with me at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakiah, that's a different one, during the months of Kislev, in the 12th year, when I was in the fortress of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, arrived with me from Judah. And I asked him about Jerusalem and the Jewish remnant. And he returned from exile, that he had returned from exile. They said to me, the survivors in the province who returned from exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's walls have been broken down, and its gates have been burned down. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. When was the last time you wept over the church? When was the last time you wept over the condition of the church? Listen further what Nehemiah says. He says, I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before God of heaven. I said, Lord God of heaven, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps His gracious covenant with those who loves Him and keep His commands. Let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer, that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly towards you and have not kept the commands, statutes, and ordinances you gave your servant Moses. Please remember that you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were vanquished to the ends of the earth, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I choose to have my name dwell. They are all your servants and your people. You redeemed them by your great power and strong hand. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to your servant who delight to reserve your name. Give your servant success today and have compassion on him in the presence of his name. At that time, I was the king's cupbearer. Chapter 2. During the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had never been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why are you sad when you aren't sick? This is nothing but sadness in heart. I was overwhelmed with fear, and I replied to the king, may the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king asked me, what is your request? So I asked So I prayed to the God of heaven and answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it. That's the first part of the story. Now let's fast forward. Fast forward to chapter 10, verse 30. The king granted him his request. Nehemiah went, they rebuilt the city walls, and now the people have come together, they're dedicating the walls. Listen to what took place. Now remember, they were in captivity. They were in Babylonian captivity. For what? They're rebellious and their disobedience to God. Listen to how their tone is changed after the walls have been rebuilt. Look at chapter 10, verse 30. We will not give our daughters in marriage to the surrounding people and will not take their daughters as our as wives for our sons. When the surrounding peoples bring merchandise of any kind of grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath day or the holy day. We will also leave the land uncultivated in the seventh year and will cancel every debt. We will impose the following commandments on ourselves: to give an eighth of an ounce of silver yearly for the service of the house of God, the bread displayed before the Lord, the daily grain offering and the regular burnt offering on the Sabbath, and new moon offerings and appointed festivals, the holy things, the sin offerings to atone for Israel, and for all the work of the house of God. We have cast lots among the priests, Levites, for the people, the donation of the wood for the ancestral houses at the appointed time each year. They are to bring the wood to the house of God, to our God's house, to burn on the altars of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We will bring the first fruits of our land and every fruit tree to the Lord's house year by year. We will also bring the firstborn of our sons and our livestock as prescribed by the law, and we'll bring the firstborn of the herds and the flocks to the house of our God, to the priests who serve in the house of God's house. We'll bring a loaf from the first batch of dough to the priest of the storerooms of the house of God. We will also bring first fruits of the grain offerings and every of every fruit tree and every new wine and oil. A tenth of our land's produce from our lands belonging to the Levites, for the Levites are to collect the one-tenth offering in all the agricultural towns. A company of Levites, when they collect the tenth, and the Levites must take a tenth of the offering to the storerooms of the treasury of the house of God. For the Israelites and the Levites are to bring the contributions of grain, new wine and oil, and storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are kept, and where the priests, gatekeepers, and singers serve. Listen, we will not neglect the house of our God. They're pretty serious, aren't they? We will not neglect the house of our God. The question I have for you this morning as we just read this scripture is this: will you neglect the house of God? Will you? Have you? Will you continue to neglect the house of God? Now listen to me. I know of only, me personally, as your pastor, I know of only three people in this church, just three people in this church, well really four, who tithe, and they're your three deacons and myself. Tithe. I'm not talking about tipping. I'm talking about tithing. Well, Brother Kyle, what's the difference between tipping and tithing? Tipping is when you have $100 in your pocket and you know, the offering plates come by and you throw in a five or a one. Tithing is when you made $1,000 this past week and you put $100 in the offering plate, one-tenth. There's a difference. We're not talking about tipping this morning, because that's what Christians do. We're talking about scripturally doing what God tells us to do, and that's tithe. I know four. The three deacons of this church and myself. I have never wanted to know who tithes and who does not tithe, because I want to minister to my church congregation without feeling indifference towards you. And let me tell you, as the pastor of this church, if I knew you didn't tithe and you asked me to do something for you, I promise you I would feel indifference. I would. Well, where are you going with this, Brother Kyle? I did ask the treasurer, Deborah, a few questions. Not no names. I still don't know. But I asked her this. I said, Deborah, in our congregation, how many families tithe? Now, I want you to think in your mind. Look at our congregation. There are a lot who aren't here. They're sick. They're away. But, you know, think with me for a second. You know, how large is that number? How small is that number? Now remember, I'm talking about tithing, not tipping. How many church family members give 10% of their income to the church? She looked at me and she said, maybe 25 or 30. Maybe 25 or 30. Now, I've got this pen right here, and I'm going to do this right here. I'm going to mark my place, because I lose my place from time to time when I get down and I really drive home a point, and that's what I'm getting ready to do. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, and don't think these are frivolous words. If you love your church, you need to understand something. My generation, I'm 45, going to be 46 in May. My generation, if my generation and under does not learn to tithe their income, this generation's children will not have a Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Do you hear me? You buy your houses and your trucks and your cars and pay for four-wheelers and hunting clubs, you steal from God. And I want you to understand who you're stealing from. It's their children. They will not have a church if you do not learn to tithe. We've got to stop tipping God and start doing what God's called us to do. Now listen to me, please. If you're not a tither, listen. Is everybody with me? Don't say amen, but I hope you're with me. Please listen to what I'm about to say. If you're not a tither, you should not have anything to say about what needs to be done here at this church. We need to do so-and-so. We need to do so-and-so. We need to get this done. If you're not a tither, you need to keep your mouth shut. Listen, it gets deeper. If you're not a tither, you should have not anything positive or negative to say during a business meeting. You shouldn't have one thing to say during a business meeting. Nothing. Now, we just finished our budget for the upcoming year, and there's some changes that have been made. And listen to me. If you're not a tither, you should have nothing to say about the changes that are made. Nothing. Well, Brother Kyle, when I speak, I have the best interest of the heart of the church. When I speak, I speak from wisdom. Listen, if you have the best interest of the heart at church, you tithe your income. Brother Kyle, you don't know how tough it is for me right now. You reckon I've ever heard that? Brother Kyle, you don't know how tough it is for me right now. Can I tell you when I started tithing? When he and his brother were in diapers. Anybody priced diapers lately? I got tired of struggling. I got tired of realizing God wasn't hearing my prayers because I knew I wasn't being obedient to God. What do you mean you weren't being obedient to God? Yeah, I was going to church. I was going to church and I was serving. I was the commander of Awana. I was a deacon. And every time I'd go to church, God would wear me out. You know why? I was tipping and not tithing. Things would happen around the house, and you know what my spiritual wife would tell me? It's happening because we're not tithing. And she was right, again. And listen, you know what I did? I did the math. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to tithe. Then I did the math again from a scriptural perspective, and I realized something, Mark. I can't afford not to tithe. I really can't. Church, listen to me. For the past, I don't know how old, 20 years, I've been tithing. I don't know how I've done it sometimes. I really don't. But I've never needed anything. God's always supplied my every need, and I have an abundance. My storehouse is full. Listen, it's not overflowing, but it's full. I'm satisfied. Why? Because I've been obedient to God. I'm not preaching this in malice. I'm preaching this because, first of all, listen, we ought to want what's best for this church. We ought to be looking out for the best interest of this church. Number two, listen, I want you to live an abundant life. If you're not tithing, you're missing out on something. You are stealing from God. You really are. What are you spending that on? I'm not going to be mean and hateful. Tony, I'm not going to say, if you're spending that money on a car, I hope your car breaks down. I'm not going to say anything like that. But I do pray this, whatever you're spending that money on that should be tithed to the church, I hope it drives you crazy. I hope every time that you go to enjoy it, you don't have joy. You can't experience joy because that what you put your joy in should be obedience to God. Brother Kyle, you just don't know what I'm going through. Church, it may just be that you're going through the tough times because you won't trust God with your finances. That's what it is. Scripture says, trust me, try me, see if I do not bless you beyond your ability. Listen, trust Him. You do realize that's what it all boils down to, right? God blessed you with whatever you have. I don't know what you have. Not to be a blessing unto yourself, and that's what we do. He blessed you to be a blessing unto others. And listen, all He asks is for 10% of it. How would you like to be in this crowd that I just read about this morning? Walking around your house and getting a 10%. Courtney, you just live across the street. I mean, how would you like it living back in those days if you and Jonathan had to collect 10% of all the pecans out front and take them to the temple? And all the grapes, you had to pick 10% of the grapes and take them to the temple. All of us who have gardens, hey, Mr. Cornelius, 10% of the collards, 10% of the broccoli, 10% of the mustard, every 10%, the first 10% goes to the Lord. I like this new system a little better. I really do. 10% of your finances. It's a whole lot easier to keep up with. Well, why did the Hebrew children make these changes that we saw in the book of Nehemiah? Why is it they made these changes? Number one, listen, Jerusalem was in shambles. The temple was destroyed. The people were in bondage. They were not being blessed. And they wanted their relationship back with God. Those are pretty good reasons, aren't they? All they saw was destruction. These people had an unbelievable relationship with God, and they no longer did. So they made these concessions, they made these promises to God because they want what they had back. That's a pretty good reason, isn't it? What did they do to make all these things right with God? Number one, they honored God through marriages with believers only. Did y'all see that? They honored God with marriages with believers only. I could preach another sermon. Listen to me, church. You don't need to be married to a non-believer. That means you ought not date a non-believer. That's a good spot for an amen. You ought not hate, listen, you ought not date a non-believer. This is honoring unto God. Number two, listen, they kept the Sabbath and the holy days. We need to keep God's day holy. Now listen, we don't need to be as legalistic as our mom and dads were back in the day. They cooked on Saturday and they didn't even wash their hands hardly on Sunday. That's not scriptural. I mean, it's honoring and it's a part of our heritage and our tradition. But we don't need to go to those depths. But we need to keep the Sabbath day holy. Listen, we need to love God. Amen? What else did they do? They started giving God what was God's to begin with. They gave it back to Him. God entrusts us to bless other people, but He also blesses us and entrusts us to give back what belongs to Him. It's His to begin with. Listen, as you look at your check, and I'm being transparent with you here, I don't tithe after tax, I tithe before tax. Listen, why do you do that? Because all of it's God's. How much of my paycheck, when I get my paycheck, when Deborah gives, and I get paid on Wednesdays, that's why Amy and I go out to eat on Wednesday night or Thursday, okay? Get paid Wednesdays or Thursdays. Well, how much of that is God's? All of it. 100%. Every bit of it's God's. Listen, none of it's mine. I would be to God. Listen, my earnest and honest prayer is at the end of my life, I hope that I'm able to live on the 10% and tithe 90%. That's just not possible. Sure it is. All things are possible with God. Why did they do all of this, Brother Kyle? Why did they make all these promises to God? Look at verse 39, the end of verse 39. I emphasized it twice. We will not neglect the house of God. This was imprinted in their mind. They had neglected the house of God, the commands of God, and God had turned his back on them. He had led them into captivity, into Babylonian Assyrian captivity, and they didn't want that anymore. So they understood, listen, from this point on, we will not neglect the house of God. Pretty good scripture to memorize, isn't it? That'd be a good one to put on the refrigerator at the house, to write on your mirror. How long? Listen, let's make it real. Can we make it real, Mark? How long did the Hebrew children stay faithful to God after this event took place? How long? Not too long. I'm just about done, church. Y'all hang on with me. They didn't stay with God long. About as long as some of you will after I preach this message. Did you hear me? But church, it doesn't have to be. God blessed you to be a blessing to others. It doesn't have to be that way. Listen, why in the world are you heaping up treasures on this earth when this earth is not your home? Why? Why are you buying boats and four-wheelers and, I mean, why are you buying all this stuff when this is not your home? Listen, our home is in heaven. We need to be heaping up treasures there, not here. This is just a temporary spot where we go through. Well, Brother Kyle, I need this. I need this. No, I know. You don't need. You won't. Do you realize you go to, and listen, I'm cheap. Y'all know I'm cheap. Cheap, cheap. Cheapity, cheap, cheap, cheap. I really am. I buy, you know, cheap suits. I do. Why? Because I'm cheap. My ties, y'all know, Brother Kyle, that's a nice tie. Came from Goodwill. 99 cents. I can't pay $30 for a tie. I just can't do it. I can't make myself do it. Shirts, Goodwill. You look, Goodwill, $3.85. You go to the mall, and I like to walk around the mall and look at those crazy people. I do. Same shirt, $120. Now, there's a Greek and Hebrew word for that. It's called insane. Listen, you do what you want to do. You don't need it. You want it. I'm ashamed sometimes. I go in my closet. And I look, and there's no need for one man to have 40 shirts. If I wore one a day for 40, I mean, come on. It's not that we need it or want it or need it. It's that we want it. When do our wants just stop and we start giving God what God wants? And that's for us to be obedient. Now, listen. This is my challenge to you today. I know this isn't a popular message. Tithing. I imagine if I put that on the bulletin, on the sign, sermon title today, tithing, we'd have a record number next Sunday, wouldn't we? This is my challenge. Step out on faith and trust God. Now, that'd been a good place for an amen. Step out on faith and trust God. This is what I have been told, church. Listen to me. I'm just about done. This is what your preacher's been told. Step out on faith and trust God. This is what I've been told. There are times... I'm not touching anything. There are times when we need something and we just have to step out on faith and trust God. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Just about done. What seems more logical to you? You asking me to have faith. I'm not touching anything. Oh, stinking devil. Nothing's rubbing. You asking me to have faith that God will meet our needs when we step out on faith? Or for me to ask you to step out on faith and trust God to meet our needs? What seems more logical? Brother Kyle, listen, we need a larger nursery. You know, we've got some money in a bank account. We just need to step out on faith and trust God. What seems more logical, you to ask me that? Or me to ask you this? There are things that this church needs to do. There's expansions that need to be made. Listen, I want you to step out of faith and trust God. Trust Him. Try Him. And see if He doesn't just overflow our storehouse. Trust Him. Trust Him. Don't trust. Hey, listen. Now, I want to challenge every single one of you, all of you, to next week tithe. This is the month of what? Thanksgiving. If you're thankful to God for what God has done for you, you'll tithe. And listen, if you're sitting there and saying, oh, God, thank you, Jesus, I got paid this week, I don't get paid next week, so I don't have to meet the... Hey, tithe when you get paid. Tithe. Honestly, church, listen to me. Let's see what the offering should actually look like if every church member were to tithe. Wonder what it looked like. I'm going to close my eyes because I'm not looking at anybody. I really don't have a clue other than the deacons and myself. I don't know who tithes and doesn't, but I don't want anybody to think I'm looking at them because I'm not. I can't see anything. If you're a Sunday school teacher, a discipleship training teacher, or you hold a position in this church, whether it is a janitor or a deacon, and you don't tithe, you need to step down. Because you do not support the church. Brother, I can't tithe. Well, listen, you don't need to serve then. I'm not looking at anybody. My eyes are closed. You need to trust God more than anybody. It's a testimony of who you are, who you say you are. Why am I asking you to do this? Why? Number one, it's scriptural. It's a scriptural obligation to the Lord. You need to be obligated to God.
Number two should be for the same reason the Hebrew children had. Brother Kyle, what was that? I forgot. We will not neglect the house of God. Will not. Brother Kyle, I'm not neglecting. We have plenty. We don't have what God desires, and that's the whole 10%. Now, I'm not a police officer. You know, years ago, I had this crazy deacon stand up, and I hope you're recording this. I hope he hears it. We need to get rid of all the smokers. We ought to make a rule: no more smoking on the church grounds and church property. And I thought to myself, well, that's a great idea. Who's going to enforce it? I'm not going to enforce it. I'm not going to knock a cigarette out of somebody's hand. I mean, hey, that's none of my business. I'm not the tithing police. I'm not going to have a report. Deborah put a report out, and you know, I'm not going to have that. Church, pray. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Hey, listen, I was just a church member, and God unbelievably convicted my heart because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I can't imagine that he would do that to me and he's not doing it to you. Be obedient to what God has called you to do. How much more could we really give the person who gave us everything? Give him what belongs to him. Amen? So next Sunday, I'm asking, next Sunday is tithe Sunday. I want to encourage everybody to tithe. Tithe 10%. Just to see what it actually looks like for the whole church to tithe. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now. We ask you to forgive us where we fail you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us where we haven't done what you've asked us to do. Lord, this whole issue of tithing, it's not a popular one. I know it's not. It's not one that I get excited about preaching, but I have to when you lay it on my heart. God, there's been times this past year where we haven't met budget weekly, and it's because we're not tithing. God, help us to feel impressed, to be obedient to you, to be who you called us to be. God, you have been so faithful to us. Help us now to, in turn, be faithful to you. You've given us so much. Help us to give what is already yours back to you, Lord. Help us to have a heart of happiness in doing it. Help us to be filled with joy knowing that we're giving back to you what you've given to us and so richly blessed us with, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Be with us during this time of invitation. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you need to come this morning,